Okay, good morning, everybody. We're on Moed Katan Daf Chav Zayin, the Shiur, sponsored by David and Paula Bamser, OMO Construction, thanks to them. And breakfast, sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas Vega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Ze'ev. Well, starting on the Chavav Amabe's last couple of words, it says, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, and the context here is that one of the restrictions of Avelus is not to do malacha, not allowed to engage in schora, business. What happens if the person's on the road while he gets the word that he's an Avel, and he's on the road for a business trip? So Tanur Banan, ha-holeich mimakom lemakom. If you're on a business trip, when you hear about the Avelus, im yachol lema'et b'yasako, then yema'et. Then if you can, try to abort the trip. But if you can't abort the trip, then at least cut down as much as possible, meaning try not to do any more commerce. V'yimlav yigal gilimohem. But the point is, if you're not able to, meaning that if there's too much at stake and it would be too difficult to cut this trip altogether out or cut it short, so then at least you galgeli mahen. So Rashi says you galgeli mahen. Eina osas char b'fnei atzmo al ima chabura. Try to at least just not stand out as what your activities are. But that's not the way Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch just says just try to do the minimum amount that you can get by on. The way Shulchan Aruch is saying it from the Rishonim in the back is that you can at least engage in whatever's necessary for you to be able to complete your trip, but not really to accomplish the purpose of your trip. Anyway, that's to minimize the business, because the person's in Shiva after all. I mean, okay, talk about it. This is going to be a whole this whole daf is a kind of a miscellaneous collection of halachos. So here we go. Tana Rabbanan says in a braisa, Me'em asai kofen es hamitos. From what moment do you have to turn the beds over? So even though we know that we Ashkenazim anyway don't have this practice of kfiyas hamita, but the question over here is broader than simply that. The question is really a matter of when the nihugei avelus start, from what moment. But the way it's being presented here is, when does the kfiyas hamita happen? Now the Bryce over here has two opinions. Misha Yitze, Mi Pesach Beiso, Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's when they leave the house. They leave the house as in when either the body leaves the house, when the body is brought to the cemetery. Presumably that's what it means. Unless it means when the Onanim leave the house to go to the cemetery, to go to the funeral. Anyway, that's the Rabbi Eliezer. We're not going to hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua, in many machlokos between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we follow Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Misha Yisaseim HaGolel, from Stimas HaGolel. That means that when the coffin is buried, when the coffin is closed up in the grave. So that's what we know. We know that of this Shita is that when they finish the burial, when they bury the body, that's when the Avelus Nihugim start. That's when it used to be universal. That was when they would take off the shoes. The shoes would be the first expression of Avelus that would happen in the cemetery itself. But in any case, nowadays that we have sneakers and Crocs and everything, it may not really, that really may not be the time to switch. You may want to switch before going to the cemetery. Okay, but in any case, that's when the Avelus, Nihugei Avelus start. Now it tells a story, it doesn't really add anything to this machlokas. Ma'aseh shemeis Rabban Gamliel azakein. It happened that when Rabban Gamliel died, and I guess the people in the household had to make all the arrangements. So kevin sheyatmi pesach beiso, Amar Lahem Rabbi Eliezer, once, I guess, everybody was leaving the house to go to the cemetery, Rabbi Eliezer then mentions to somebody running the household, and he tells them, Kfu mitoseichem, go around and turn all the beds over. V'kivin shenistam agolel, when they finish the burial, Amar lem Rabbi Yeshua, then Rabbi Yeshua tells them, I don't know who they are, but he tells them, Kfumi tosechem, okay, you should turn your beds over. So Amar la, they said to him, we did already. Kfar kafinu al pizaked, we did already, because the other rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, told us to do it already a long time ago. So it doesn't really add anything, it just confirms that that's their shitos. All right, Tana Rabbanan. Raisa says, Me'em asai zokfin asa mitos. Be'erev Shabbos. When do you have to turn the beds back over on Friday afternoon to prepare for Shabbos? Remember that we learned earlier that one of the things that happens for Shabbos is that Kfiyas Hamita gets reversed, gets undone. You can't do Kfiyas Hamita, that's mitzvah. So that's what they're asking over here is, when do you suspend the public expressions of Avelus on Shabbos? So the expectation is that on Shabbos itself, that's too late, because it's a by Shabbos already has to be done. So you have, how much time do you give the people to prepare for Shabbos? So it says here, Mina Mincha Ulemala. They say from Mincha Kitana, Mincha Kitana is 2.5 Shaos before Laila. So from that time, Mincha late in the afternoon. So that's really... that's really something that people abuse frequently nowadays, is that they take liberties on Friday afternoon, in the early afternoon, and then they do all kinds of preparations for Shabbos. It's like they end their Avelus for Shabbos already early, but it says over here, it's only Minha Mincha Olamala. It's only close to Shabbos. Amar Rabba Bar Huna. Afal PK, Rabbi Bar Huna, the Amora, says that even though from late Friday afternoon, from Mincha Olamala, you're already straightening the beds up. Afal PK, Eina Yosheva La Adje Techshach. He says you still don't have permission to ignore the Avelus laws until Shabbos actually starts. Ulamotse Shabbos, so that has to do with when you're changing clothes into Shabbos clothes, that kind of thing. Ulamotse Shabbos, so when Shabbos ends, and when Shabbos ends, even if that's the last day of Shiva, you still have to turn the beds back over. You can't just leave the beds like that. You have to turn the beds back over. Again, we have no experience with Kfiyas Hamita nowadays, so we don't see it. But one thing that does emerge from the way this is described is that the last day of Shiva is a whole question. You know that there's a rule of mixas ayom kekulo. You don't do a full seventh day. Question is, when does the Shiva terminate? So over here, it looks like the night of the seventh day is full of Avelus. It says you have to do Kfiyas Hamita just for the Motzei Shabbos, even though Sunday morning it's going to be. So you see, over here, that's what Summer Medayik. Summer Medayik from this, that you see that there's no rule of mixas halayla kekulo. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to do that. You would have done one Avelus, you take off your shoes, and that's enough, and then that's it. And it would be over. So you see that you don't say it belayla. That certainly is our practice, is that we don't terminate Shiva at night. We do it in the morning. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. It says in Ebraisa, Hakofa Mita So. Now it's some additional rules of Kfiyas Hamita, which, like I say, we don't have any direct experience with, we Ashkenazim anyway. Hakofa mitaso lo mitaso bilvadu kofa elakom mitos sheyesh lo besof beiso kofa. It's not just the bed that you sleep on, or maybe the bed that you sit on. It's a little bit unclear exactly. Kfiyas Hamita, one of the ambiguities is about the sitting on the mita or sleeping on the mita. So it says here all of the mitos have to be turned over. Afilo yeshlo eser mitos biasar mekomos, kofes kulan. Even if you have 10 mitos in 10 different places, you have to turn them all over. It sounds like even if you're not there. In other words, there's something about a requirement to do Kfiyas Hamita as a gesture. Okay, it's a little bit vague. What exactly is the purpose of Kfiyas Hamita? This came up earlier at least twice. The question of what is the purpose of Kfiyas Hamita? What's it all about? So over here it's saying you do Kfiyas Hamita even if you're not going to have to, you know, you're not using the beds. We're going to see some more of that even over the next few lines. Let's take a look. It says, Afilu chamisha achin u'meis echad kulan kofin. Let's say you have five brothers, one of them dies, so then it's really the same family. Well, Kofin, Kulan Kofin, all of them, they have to turn over their beds. Not so obvious to me. What exactly was the additional Kiddush that was said over here that you wouldn't already have known on your own? Another difficulty here with these Gemaras is that we don't really understand what their world looked like, what their house looked like, what the beds looked like, what the function was. So it says here, if you had a mitam yuchedes lekelim, if you had, let's say, the bed that was only used to keep your stuff, so then ain't sarif lefos. So you don't have to turn that over just because it's a bed.
What if you had five brothers? They live in five different homes and were sitting in one house. Sounds like they still also have to turn over their beds. And
well, that, you know, you also would have gotten that from the fact that it says Eser Mitos and Eser Makomos.
Right.
That's what it seems like. It seems like all of the beds that they own, I guess. It says here, if it's Mitim Yechedes Lekelim Yitzar Achlevosa. Okay, I don't even know what kind of a thing that is. It's a bed that they only had the... I remember that the word kalim often means clothes and other means beddings and stuff like that. So, but I don't know what that's referring to. Either way, what it means is that even though you need to turn over all the beds, but that's only all the beds that people use as a bed. But if you're just using it as a shelf, I guess, so then you don't have to. And then it says this other thing here. Dargish, ein tzarech lechfo, so elazokfo. You don't have to turn over the dargish. But then it says something weird. It says elazokfo. Wait, so that means that you do have to do something to it? It's just not kofa, it's zokef? Or does zokef over here just mean leave it alone? Like what it says for mitim yecheres lekelim. It says mitim yecheres lekelim, you don't have to turn it over. But it doesn't say zokef. It just says you just don't do anything. But the dargish, it says you don't have to turn it over. So you just zokef it. So what does that mean? Well, what is a dargish? So oddly enough, we're not the only ones that not know what a dargish is. Even the Amoraim didn't really know what the Tanaim were talking about when they said dargish. It says this dargish is in a brisa, but already by Amoraim times, things had changed enough that they didn't know immediately what this dargish refers to. So Reb Shimon, in any case, we'll talk a little bit more as it keeps coming up. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Tanaim, Reb Shimon Gamliel, says, no, you don't have to be zokef, just dargish matires karvitav, who no fail me love. See? Obvious. I guess if you knew what a dargish was, you knew what it looked like, you knew what the karvitin were, so then what he's saying is you just have to, you know, undo the karvitin, and so then the whole dargish will just collapse. Okay. Now the Amoraim are asking, my dargish, what is this thing? A dargish. Amar Ula. So now we have Amoraim are pretty much guessing what the dargish is. So Ula says, oh, you know what the dargish is? It's an arsa degada. It's an arsa degada. Rashi writes over here, it's a good luck bed. It's the good luck bed. We don't have that. Even the Amoraim also didn't have that, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Any case, arsa degada. Some Rishonim don't like this saying at all. They don't like saying a good luck bed. Because they think that would be, that's inappropriate, that's not Jewish, that's not allowed believe in good luck. So instead, they interpret it means it's a show bed. It's a bed that you have just for display, almost as if it's a sign of wealth, that kind of a thing. It's your bed that's on display, just a show bed. I don't know. We don't have that either, Zagaxi. Maybe we do have that. I don't know. So in any case, whatever it is, it means that Ula is understanding that what was going on in this braisa is that if you have a dargish, it's not miyuchedes lekelim, but it's not used really routinely as a bed either. It's something in between. It's not really used at all, although it's kind of being treated like it's a bed. It's just not being used. I don't know. In any case, Amar Le Rabba. Rabba doesn't like his translation of dargish. He says to Ula, well, if it's just that, so then Elamayata Gabi Melech, so then you can't explain the following rule. It says in the Mishnah, in Sanhedrin, I think it says this: "Nan kol ha'am misubin al ha'aretz, v'hu meisav al ha'dargish." It says, "What happens when you have to when the melech is in avil?" It says here, "Well, the people are not." Normally, what happens is that the avil is lower down, but you can't do that for the melech. So the people are going to be lower down, but the melech should at least demonstrates some kind of a change because of his avilus. It says he sits on the dargish. So what's bothering Rabbah is miyika midi. You ever have such a thing? The ad ha'idna lo osvine, that he's never going to be on the dargish. V'hashtem osvine in lay. And you're going to have him be on the dargish now in his avilus. So maskeh Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi didn't understand what was so bad about that. My kushya, what's your problem? Miri dihava achilu shdia. There are any number of things that we do differently during avilus, such as, for example, havra. Havra is where you have to bring the food over to provide for the yavel. So it says, well, normally the melech is the provider. Diado idna lo ochlina vilo ashkina. Nobody brings food over to give it to the melech. Hashta ochlina vashkina. You have to provide for the melech too. So you see that you do unusual things because of the circumstances, because of the avelus. So put him in a dargish. So what's so bad? Ella ikasha hakasha. Oh, so now the Gemara modifies what was bothering Rabbah to object to defining the dargish as this showbed. He has the following. No, because it says a different rule. Dargash eino tzarech lefos ala zokfo. The fact that the Tanakhama said, in that Bryce, it says that the dargish, you don't have to turn it over, you just zokefe it. V'i arsa de gadahu, amai eino tzarech lefoso. But if it's a good luck bed, or if it's a show bed, then why don't you have to turn it over? After all, that Brisa already says that you have to turn over all the beds. Atanya, akofa mitaso lo mitaso bilvadu kofel kol mitaso sheish lo besof beiso. That's his problem. His problem is that if it's one of these show beds, then it's just one of the beds, so you have to turn it over. You would have to. So why would it make sense to say you don't have to? But then the Amoraim said, they don't understand that objection either, because but it doesn't function as a bed, just like the shelf. They don't understand what's bothering him. What's so bad about defining the dargish as this show bed? The fact that you don't have to turn it over is just like the mita miyucheres lekelim. It's just like the bed that really functions just as a shelf. That you don't have to turn that over because it doesn't function as a bed. So what's so bad about saying that that's what's going on with the dargish? No. Okay, right. These wouldn't have been objections. But really, Rabbi had a meaningful objection, and it was the following. Here was his objection. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, dargish matirs karvitav hu nofel me'ilav. This is the problem. The problem is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, you know what you do with the dargish? You just detach the karvitin. Can't really give you any description of what these things are. So karvitin, I guess, were some kind of straps that held the thing up. Uno fel mei love, and let the thing collapse. That's the way Rav Shimon Gamliel describes what to do with the dog. If you sell gadaitach arse de gada, my karvitin islay. The problem is that an arse de gada doesn't have karvitin. Okay, so it makes me wonder, like, what did Ula think? But anyway, so that was his objection. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Le Yahume Rabban Rav Tachlif Amar Rabishmei, one of the Amoraim who came from Eretz Yisrael, came and the Abashchiach Beshuka de Goldoi, my Dargish Arsed Itzala. So this Amora, this person came and he said, was able to explain to us what this Dargish refers to. Maybe the point is that this was something that they had in Eretz Yisrael, so that's why the Mishnayis had it, but in Bavel they didn't know what it was. So in any case, a dargish is arsa ditzala. No, it's just a leather bed. I guess we call it a cot. So it's a cot. So the point is that it does function as a bed, but it's a portable bed. So because it's portable, so it's made in ways that collapses easily, and so in any case, so that would explain everything kind of. All right. I guess it was the kind of thing that you can't turn it upside down exactly, but you don't have to. So either Tanakhama would say you just let it collapse, like just, detach it and let it collapse, and that's good enough. Or what the Tanakhama said is you zokef the bed. So which means that turn it upside down doesn't mean anything. So you just prop it up kind of on its side or on its head.
So Dargash, from what I understand, is like a trundle. So when you collapse it, it kind of like falls underneath the higher bed. Or they put it behind.
That's interesting.
Or they put it behind.
Like a high riser where you kind of.
Or they put it behind the bed, so when they don't use it, it stands behind the bed folded. And when they do need it, they open it up and it folds as another bed.
So then maybe that's what's going on. So it's saying over here, just put it, you know, just put it up against the wall.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, Yitmer Nami, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, we're going to accept this interpretation, this definition. Rabbi Yirmiya Dargash, say Rugo Mitocho. But a mita, regular bed, say Rugo Al Gaba. All right, somehow or other, this is supposed to confirm the Dargash has its springs or whatever, the straps are Mitocho, but I guess makes it easier to collapse. Mita, they put the straps on top of it. I really can't visualize any of this at all. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha tells us that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi paskins Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon Gamliel against Tanakama, namely that he just let it collapse. You don't have to straighten it up. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Amar Rabbi Asi, Mita shenak liteha yotzin. What happens if you have a different kind of a bed which has the poles or the bed posts or something they stick up. So you can't get it upside down. I guess that's the objection. You can't get it upside down. So what happens? So it says Zokva Vidayo. Just Zokva Vidayo. So the Zokva Vidayo, same question. Does that mean you put it up against the wall? That's what it sounds like. Or does it just mean don't do anything? All right. I don't know. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. It says in a Braisa, Yashen al gabi kise al gabi udaini gedol or al gabi karka lo yase de chovaso. So listen to this. The Braisa says if let's say the avil slept on a kise, he slept on a chair or on an udaini gedol or on the board, some kind of a board or a slab, or al gabi karka even, or he slept on the floor next to the bed. Lo yasi dechavasa. That's not enough. That's not sufficient. Rabbi Yochanan explains v'ushaloki and kviasamita that he didn't do the mitzvah, the requirement to kviasamita. So presumably, what it means is that it's not enough to just do kviasamita. You have to kviasamita. I mean, it's not enough. It's not that just kviasamita is just in order to make you sleep on the floor. Because if you slept on the floor and didn't do kviasamita, that's not okay. That's not enough. You have to kviasamita. And then you have a bit of a question. And then what? Then you have to use it that way? Or you just have to do it as a gesture, and then you can sleep wherever you want to? That's a little bit unclear. The Rishonim are unclear about this. The Rambam has an unusual opinion about this. It depends which day of Avelus. And other Rishonim don't require using the mita necessarily. But you at least have to do the act of kofa, the mitos, regardless of where you're going to sleep. And like I say, we're not used to seeing any of this because we Ashkenazim don't do this. All right, Tan Rabbana, very important halacha. It relates to the conditions of the Beis Avel. Tan Rabbana, mechabdin umarbitzin beBeis Avel umadichin akaras akosas utzluchios akitonios beBeis Avel. Right, it says that you're allowed to make sure the Beis Avel is in good shape, is clean. You're allowed to sweep and you're allowed to mop. I guess that would be like a modern equivalent of marbitzin. Like they had dirt floors, so you would have to kind of mist down the floor so that it doesn't get too dusty. Beis ha'avel, medichin, of course, you could wash the dishes and things. Ve'ein mevi'en es ha'mugmar. But you're not allowed to make the place too nice. You're not allowed to bring the mugmar, the es ha'besamim le'beis ha'avel, or besamim into the beis ha'avel. In other words, there is an expectation that you're going to have a toned down living conditions in Beis Avel. Just that it doesn't have to be too bad. You can keep things clean. You just can't keep things nice. You can't keep these too nice. So you can't bring in besamim for room fresheners and stuff. And I think Gemara asks, wait, there's something wrong. This seems to be going against, this is a Braisa. This seems to be going against a different Braisa. Any. Wait, there's another braisa quoted by Bar Kapara. It tells us that when that when you're in the Beis HaAvel, you don't say the bracha b'samim or the bracha mugmar b'Beis HaAvel. The implication is that you have b'samim there, you just don't say the bracha on it. Baruch Hu d'lo mevarachin ho'asui ma'isinan. The implication of that braisa is that you do bring b'samim, you can have b'samim in Beis HaAvel, you just don't say the bracha on them. Our answer is lo kashya, haba Beis HaAvel, haba Beis HaMenachemim. Gemara says, well, we're talking about two different things. So it's unclear that Rishonim have a dispute about what the distinction over here is. What is Beis HaAvel referred to and what is Beis HaMenachemim referred to? Some say it means Beis HaAvel is where the Avelim are, only. But Beis HaMenachemim is where also the guests or visitors are going to be as well. So in the public spaces, okay, you can have Besamim, but in the private places where the Avel alone is, that's not. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says...
The Avel sits in the living room and everybody's in the dining room.
That's one way to read it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that interpretation. Shulchan Aruch says, no, Beis HaAvel means where the mace is. Where the mace is. And Beis HaMenachemim, it's a different usage of Beis HaAvel. Beis HaMenachemim refers to where the mace isn't, and the Avelim are with the Menachemim. And what it's saying is that the Beis HaAvel, where the body is, you can bring fresheners there to make the place not smell bad, but you don't say the bracha b'samim over there. That's the rule. You don't say bracha b'samim on b'samim of a mace. It's an old rule. But the Beis HaMenachemim, that's the regular Beis HaAvel. So then the rule is you don't even bring any b'samim there at all. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You don't bring b'samim to the Beis HaAvel at all. But if there's a mace there, so then you can just to deodorize the room. Okay, interestingly, this gives you a depiction. This is one of the very few places where it gives a depiction of what the Beis HaAvel is supposed to be like. So the one thing I think that people associate with the conditions of the Beis HaAvel is the mirrors. The mirror practice, I don't know whether this came up earlier, but the mirror practice not mentioned in the Gemara. The fact that they cover the mirrors or cloud the mirrors or take down the mirrors or whatever, that is a really recent practice. It's not mentioned anywhere in any of the Sifrei Halacha. It's possible that it might even be in America. It's really not a traditional thing, and it's unclear what you're trying to accomplish by covering the mirrors. Some suggest that it has to do with Kviyas HaMita, because Kviyas HaMita is based on the Pasuk that says, D'mustiyukni nasati b'chem, u'b'avonoseichem hafachtiha. So the Gemara has one of the psukim that serves as the source for Kviyas HaMita is because of the D'mustiyukin, because the bed is kind of a representative of the human form, because you lie on the bed. And so that's what you're trying to accomplish with Kviyas HaMita. So if you're supposed to try to conceal things that represent the human form, so then the mirror may be part of that. That's a creative suggestion. Others have other different kinds of suggestions about what it is. Maybe it has something to do with the elegance or the niceness or whatever in the home, but it's unclear. It's really hard to get clarity on a relatively new minhag that doesn't have any basis. All right, but the main rules of Beis HaAvel are things that people are not so careful about. It's the rule, like it said earlier, a few dafim ago, that you're not allowed to have chatter and discussions and schmoozing and greetings and all these kinds of things that go on sometimes in a Beis HaAvel. That's not appropriate. Beis HaAvel, even if it's not involving the Avel directly, still not the right place for that stuff. All right, two dots, Mishnah. So this Mishnah is describing Havra. The rule is, and we're going to see that over here in Amud Beis, that the Avel is not allowed to eat the first Suda of his own. It has to be provided by others. So others have a responsibility to provide food. So it says in this Mishnah that when you're bringing food to the Beis HaAvel, Mishnah says, you have to bring food to the Beis HaAvel in ordinary kelim, like in shopping bags or regular bags. Not in a tabla, not a skutla, not a knon. Which, you know, if you lived at that time, you'd know what these things are. Those are nice things. Ela bisalim, just regular baskets. Ve'en omrim birkas aveilim b'moed. Ein omrim birkas aveilim b'moed. And you don't do birkas aveilim, which was a kind of a procedure that they did at the cemetery. So on chol
ha'moed. That's not saying
anything? Nah, okay. That's not this. Okay. That's a different procedure. That they did. You don't do that in Chol HaMoed. Aval omdim b'shura u'menachemin. But we'll do shura, and then we will say nicham aveilim, just potrim es harabim, and then we tell everybody, that's it. And then everybody can leave. Ve'ein menichin es amita b'rechov, shelo lahargil es ahespeit. On Chol HaMoed, when you have a funeral, when you have a burial, they have to, this is what the Shulchan Aruch describes, you have to make sure you get everything ready before you bring the body to the cemetery, because you're not allowed to leave the body around on Chol HaMoed, because if the body is sitting there, it just makes people tend to give more hespedim, and on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to give hespedim. So on Chol HaMoed you have to try to, even if you're going to do like a gravesite thing, but it has to be, try to get the grave ready before they bring the body. That's the way they describe it. Ve'lo shel nashim li'olam mipnei ha'kavod. And a woman who that they're burying, that's always the practice. You always have to make sure that the grave is ready. You can't let the woman's casket, the coffin, sit around because of kavod. Because of kavod. What's the problem of kavod? Some say it's just kavod. You shouldn't have women in public. And others say, well, we would have guessed. It's more likely that you're going to have things dripping out of the... But, you know, I don't know. People, I guess, work with the Chevra Kadisha know more about these things. So I don't know. But anyway, that's what it says here in the Mishnah. Okay, Gemara says that there's actually a backstory to this Mishnah. It says, Tana Rabbanan. The Raisa says, Barishona, early on, doesn't really identify what time period this early on is, some earlier time. Hayumolichin bevesa avel ashirim bekalsa shel kesef. Out of kavod abrios, out of kavod, the wealthy people would bring food on golden and silver trays. Hayumolichin bevesa avel ashirim bekalsa shel kesef, shel zav. Aniyim, people who didn't have, poor people would bring basale and itzarim shel areva. I don't know what these things are. Baskets. Shel arava klufa. Whatever that is. Something, some cheap bag. The hayo aniyim is baishib. And that was embarrassing. It was humiliating to the aniyim. So hiskinu, so somebody who was observing this, took action and instituted a community public policy that no one's allowed to bring any upscale bags, boxes, containers with the food to the Beis HaAvel. Everybody has to bring only regular shopping bags. The skinner shall yavakol meviyim besali nitzarm shall reva kulufa. The pnei kvodim shall aniyim. Out of respect for the aniyim, there are any number of these kinds of public policies, of edicts, where we try to kind of level the playing field at the bottom level, so as to not embarrass people who were forced to do things that otherwise would be considered compromises. All right, so then we give another 10 examples of this phenomenon here. Tana Rabbanan, Barishona, originally, Hayu mashkin bevesa avel, ashirin bezechuchis levana, aniyin bezechuchis tzivua. Originally, they would give in the Beis HaAvel, the wealthy people would give the drinks, would provide drinks in crystal, in zechuchis levana, in crystal glasses. It's a bit unclear here. The Mefarshim aren't clear. Are we talking about wealthy mourners or wealthy community members would provide to the mourners? Mm. Doesn't matter that much. Just whatever the history, whatever this is referring to, this to one or the other of the groups were utilizing crystal glasses, aniyim bezechuchis tzivua, but the poor people, they couldn't afford the clear crystals. They only had ordinary colored glass. Apparently much cheaper. So that was humiliating for the Aniyim. So Iskinu, same kind of a thing. Somebody took action and instituted. Everybody, you can't bring crystal to the Beis Avel. It has to just be cheap disposable cups or whatever the equivalent was. Originally, this is, I think, pretty shocking to us. Originally, they used to have, in the funeral, they would have the face...
Open casket.
Yeah, open casket for viewing. But not the Aniyim. Because the Aniyim, well, they looked very scary, dark. Yeah, mushkarim. Dipnei batzoras. So I guess out of cover, they didn't show the faces of the Aniyim. But Ashir, they did. So from that time on, it was not customary to have viewings. Go figure. It wasn't like they were sitting there. People would file past the casket or whatever. It was just in the course of doing the burial. They would have open casket.
You're not supposed to do that anyway.
This is it. This is what you're not supposed to do because of this. It's not like it's fundamentally inappropriate to do that. Barishon ha'yemotzi and ashirim b'dargish yani and b'klicha or b'kliva. Originally, they would bring the coffin out, the wealthy people, on a dargish. Okay, so I guess that would be irrelevant to know what the dargish is, but something that okay. Anyway. And but Aniyim, just in a regular klicha or kliva. I don't know. We can imagine on our own what that is. Some kind of a contraption that would carry the coffin. Hayo Aniyim is baishim, and that was humiliating for the Aniyim. So iskina sheyuakol motziim beklicha mipnei kvarim shel Aniyim. Same kind of a thing. Barishona, another example. Ayam manichin es amugmar tachas choli meyayim mesim. Originally, if somebody died who had some kind of some stomach, a GI problem, and so then apparently things were still leaking out afterwards, so they would put mugmar to try to mask the smell. Clear exactly to me what this is. It was humiliating to other people who had stomach conditions. I guess. Okay. His skin is manichim tachas akol. So then they insisted that should be the routine for all funerals, all preps for a body would have things there that would try to neutralize the smell or mask the smell. His skin is manichim tachas akol pnei kvodim shel cholim ayayim chayim. Barishona hayu matbilim es akelim al gabi nidos mesos. So I think that what this says is that originally, if a woman died as a nida, then all of the things that she was in contact with during that few days or so that she was a nida, if this is Barishona, it's very possibly early on before there was any takana, derabanan, so nida really only lasted a week. So Barishona, hayamat bilim as a kalim, so those kalim that the woman interacted with while she was a nida, they would have to tovel those things al gabi nidos mesos. While they were toveling the body as part of the tahara, they would tovel all the kalim anyway from the house also. The hayom nidos chayos misbaishos. And that seemed to have been indirectly humiliating to women who were nidos. Unclear to me what that busha is. Because it's not as if you could mask the status of nida or the tvila of the kalim that Anita interacted with. These were just parts of life that were very visible back then. So I don't know what the busha is. But anyway, hiskinu sheyu matbilim al gabi kol hanashim bepnei kvarim shal nidos chayus. Maybe that it was, it was embarrassing to be identified as a woman who was Anita when she died. I don't exactly know what the busha is. In any case, so then they stand. They made that standard practice. All kelim that any women interacted with would all get toveled when they were toveling the body at the tara, I guess. I don't think we don't do any of these things. These are tahara things. We don't do any tevilas kelims. But Rishona matbilem agabi zavin mesim. Same kind of a thing for men. Men who were zav would also be matame everything. So Rishona, they would be tovel gabi zavin mesim. The hayu zavin chayim is baishim. That is something that I don't know. But anyway, so apparently, if you were there, you would know that this is humiliating to the zavim. Hiskinu shayu matbilem al gava kol. So then that's interesting. So what is that saying? That whenever any man died, they also tovel all the kelim in conjunction with the tahara. Alright. Barishona haisa hotzas hameis kasha lekrovav yosermi misa so. So I guess the point is that before there were these public policies about how you're supposed to handle the procedure after the person dies, so everybody was outdoing everybody else, and it was very expensive to have a funeral. Still expensive to have a funeral, but apparently it was just out of sight. So it was Barishona, Haisa Hotzas Hameis, the expenses of the funeral were Kashi L'Krovo Yosermi Misasto, were harder on the Avelim than the death of the person. Achahayu krovav menichin oso ubarchin. So much so that they couldn't take it, so that they would just leave the body, put the body there, and run away. And that's it. They couldn't deal with the pressure that was attendant to these high end funerals. Ubarchin. Achabar Rabban Gamliel, until Rabban Gamliel. So this wasn't all that long. This was Rabban Gamliel. Late among the Tanaim, v'noah kalis rosh be'atzmo, and he compromised on what he would have been entitled to or expected to do. The yatza b'klei pishtan, and the burial was with shrouds, regular simple shrouds, klei pishtan, and presumably other kinds of things, but I don't know what else. And v'nohagu ha'am acharav latzeis b'klei pishtan, and that really solved lots of problems. It was unclear exactly. The Tosus has the question. Does that mean that he died or that he was an Avel and he did this way, directly? Or does that mean that he gave orders that when he died it should be done this way? Unclear. In any case, Amar Rav Papa v'ha'idna nahug alma afila b'tzrada barzuza. Nowadays Rav Papa says, we of course know that we'll even use tachrichin that are cheap, that cost only a buck. Okay, in other words, I guess at one time it was considered that's not kavod abrios to do that. You really should spend money out of kavod abrios. And then it became, as a policy, that while that might be true, that might be like expensive caskets and expensive shrouds and expensive funeral, expensive mausoleum, all of these things might be an expression of kavod ames, maybe. But by public policy, they disallowed all of that. So then it's turned more recently into being a virtue. To reduce all of the kavod as being focusing on proper things about Olam Haba and all of that. Okay, but it really didn't emerge from that way of thinking. It emerged from a different way of thinking. All right, in any case, two dots. Ein menichin es amita berechov. It says in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to chol hamoed, you're not allowed to leave the coffin in public, like sitting there while they attend to digging the grave. Amar Rav Papa, Papa says, "Ein moed b'fnei talmid chacham." There are no moed restrictions, which means all of these rules that say that a chol hamoed you're not allowed to have funerals and hespedim and not leave the body there, and all of that does not apply to a talmid chacham. That's only for regular people. Talmid chacham supersedes the kavod to the talmid chacham supersedes the what would be the standards of behavior of chol hamoed. The Koshi and Chanukah Purim, certainly Chanukah Purim, which has a lower Kedusha, it's the Rabbanan. So you do Hespedim to a Talmud Chacham, even a Chanukah and Purim, a Chol Hamoed. Then the Gemara qualifies v'hani mili b'fanav avel shela b'fanav lo, as long as it's b'fnei ha-meis, as long as it's there where the body is. But you can't just have a remote memorial service on Chol HaMoed or Chanukah Purim, whatever, even if it's for a Talmid Chacham. Hey, the Gemara says, hold on a minute, but that goes against something that we heard, we learned. V'ha Rav Kahana, but we know that Rav Kahana, Safdei L'Rav Zvid, Mina Harda, well, Rav Kahana, this is apparently a story that was well known, that Rav Kahana eulogized Rav Zvid Mina Harda, and where was Rav Kahana? In Pum Nahara. So that was apparently remote, that was a different place. So he did this. Apparently this also happened either on Chol HaMoed or Chanukah Purim. So you see that he didn't feel bound by that requirement that the body be present. Rav Papi said, no, that was a spontaneous eulogy that was Yom Shemua. That was when they first heard word of it. So the day they heard word of it, okay, b'fanav dummy. That has the status of being b'fanav. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says all these rules straight into Shulchan Aruch. Amar Ula. Ula the Amora says, Hesped al Leiv. Not sure exactly what the following things are really after, but let's see. It says, Hespades are done al Leiv, by banging on your heart. Dechsiv al Shadayim Sofdim. Okay, like a pasuk says something about the word, the shorash of Sofade and Shadayim. So, you know, bang on your chest is hespedim. Okay, I guess that was the way, that was something that they would do occasionally at funerals, often, frequently, I don't know. To accompany the words that they would say, maybe they would also do this kind of thing. Tipuach is biyad, where it refers to the action of metapchim, that's biyad. That's like clapping. And kilus is beregel. And when it refers to mekalsim over the mace, that's beregel. I guess they bang on their regel, or they bang their regel on the floor. Okay, unclear exactly to me what is this. This is just giving us historical information. It's halachic information. I don't know. Tana Rabbanim says in a brisa, hamekales lo yekales besandal. The Raisa says that Tanoim said that when you do Mekales, when you do Kilas, don't do it with a sandal elabiminal, a manal. You shouldn't use this kind of shoe, you should use that kind of shoe. Tosis quotes from the Rach a different girsa. Don't do either. Don't use a shoe at all. The Pnei Asakana, because that could be dangerous. I don't know, dangerous what? If you're using the shoe to bang, maybe you're banging on yourself with your shoe, I don't know. Rashi says something about you'll break your foot about doing something. Maka raglu bakarka. So if your shoe might be loose and then you're banging too hard on the ground and your shoe is not on properly, you could twist your ankle. I don't know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan the Amora. Rabbi Yochanan says, Avel. Okay, this is totally a different rule. Avel. This is now when you're Menachem Avelim. So you're at the Shiva house, and you're Menachem the Avelim. Avel, Kevan Shaniana Rosho, Shuv in Menachem in Roshoin Leshevetzlo. Once the Avel gestures with his head, the Menachemin have to take their cue and have to say goodbye. They have to leave. So what is that? That's an important rule. Obviously, that means that at a certain point, the Menachemin have to realize that they are not supposed to remain, and they have to leave. So what exactly did the Avel do? Now, the way this is most often described, at least the way I've heard it described most often nowadays, is simply once the Avel is nodding off and gestures that he's tired, so then it's no longer a help to be there. Now it's a burden for you to be there. So give him space. So everybody should take off, clear out, give him a chance to sleep if it's late at night or to nap or whatever. That's the way I've heard it described. The way the Rishonim talk over here, it's not exactly that way. They have other things. They talk about how, well, the Avil is supposed to be all despondent and sad and depressed, and you're supposed to try to kind of give encouragement and cheer, whatever. And once you see that the Avil has has responded to the Nichum, mission accomplished. So then leave. So then you've done your duty. You've done your mission. So then once you see you've successfully been able to give comfort, so you're done. Others have a different kind of a thing. If Niana Rosho, well, I don't know. Let's just go with those couple. Okay, but whatever it is, it's like the courtesies of the of Nicham Avel. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Chayavin La'amod Mipnei Nasi Chutz Mei Avel V'Chola. Everybody's required, of course, to stand when the Nasi approaches, but not a Avel or a Chola. Okay, even if the Chola could exert himself and stand, he shouldn't, and the Avel obviously could stand up, but shouldn't either. And then we're told the following rule, V'yama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also said, L'kol omrim lahem shvu, chutz mi'avol v'chola. And if they did stand, which they didn't have to, that's the way some Rishonim learn it, if they did stand, even if they didn't have to, anybody who does stand for the Nasi or for anybody else, you always can say to them, no, sit. That's a proper response. But don't say that to the Avel, to the Chola. So why? What's wrong with saying sit to the Avel, to the Chola? Because in Hebrew, the word is shvu. Now, shvu in Hebrew means sit. But it also means, like basukas teshvu, shivas yamim, it means stay or remain. So when you tell the Avel or the Chola, remain that way, well, the implication is, stay an Avel or stay a Chola. That's not your intention. It's certainly not taken that way. But that's the way it says over here. So in English, it wouldn't really mean anything. Except in English, don't say stay, because that would be kind of equivalent to the Hebrew shavu. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said from Rav, Avel Yom Rishon, Asur Lecho Lecha Mishalah. So this is really the rule of Havra. The Avel in the first day of Avelus, not allowed to eat his own food. And therefore the community has a responsibility to provide. The Rishonim here, Tosas on the side, on the page here, says this refers to all the meals of the first day. It's a din of Yom Rishon, like it says in the wording, sounds like. And but the other Rishonim in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept that. We hold that it's only the Suda Rishona on the Yom Rishon. The first Suda of the Yom Rishon, it's one Suda Savra that other people have to provide. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Mechalfi Suda Sayali Hadadi. Rabbi Rav Yosef had a standing arrangement, apparently, that each one, when if the one became an Avel, the other one would provide the food. I'm not sure exactly what that is and what it stands for, what it represents, and what we're supposed to get out of it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said from Rav, Meis Be'ir, Akol B'nei Ha'ir Asurim Be'asiyas Melacha. If somebody dies in the ear, everybody in the town apparently are aware of it. They find out about it. So everybody has to stop work. They have to close up. Not allowed to do malacha if there's a mace be'ir. Rav Hamnuna once ikla le Jerome Asa. Rav Hamnuna once came to Jerome Asa. I guess that would mean south town, south city. Shama kol shipura deshchava. So he heard the trumpeting of the funeral, of the news of there's a funeral happening, and Chaza Hanachinshi Dikoav the Avirita. But he sees these guys, and they're still working. So what does he do? Amar Lahu. So he says to these guys, Lahavu Hanachinshi B'Shamta. Now we've seen that in this Masechta a lot. He puts them into Shamta, into Cherim. And he says to them, first he shoot first and ask questions after. So he first shoots and then he asks them, don't you guys know lo shchava ikka b'masa? Don't you know somebody's died? Amrulai, so they said to him, it doesn't matter, chavurasa ikka b'masa. No, we have a chavra kadisha here. They take care of these things. Amrulahu, he said, oh, sorry. Iyachi ishar yilachu. Okay, so I release you from your shamta. All right. Not sure exactly what to get out of that. But anyway, I guess that's the point, is that rule, in theory, everybody has to take off when a mace, when somebody dies in the town, but not if there's a Chevrei Kadisha. V'yamarav Yehuda, amarav, okay, a new other important rule, also kind of all over the place. Kol ha-miskashel meso yaser midai. If the person is the avel, who is of course really distraught over the loss, if he can't pull himself together, and he's just continues to remain distraught too long, that's also not okay. Al meis acher hu bocha. You're going to have to experience avelus again. Hahi itza, and to tell a story in support of that, once there was a woman, the Havas b'shivavusei de Rav Huna, in Rav Huna's neighborhood, Havala Shiva Bonei, she had seven children. Meis chad minayu, one of them dies. Havas kabachia b'yasei rasa, she was just disconsolate. She was inconsolable. She wasn't able to pull herself together. So Shalach la Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, weren't to her, pull yourself together, lo savdi hachi, don't be this way. Lo ashkacha be, so she couldn't, or she didn't, pay any attention to what he said there. Shalach la, so he sends back to her, look, it's going to be bad. Itzaisis mutav, if you can listen to what I'm telling you, it'll be good. Elo, but if you don't stop mourning over your child, Savis zavdasa leidach mis. You're going to need to prepare shrouds for other ones. Anyway, eventually, misu kulahu. Lesof amar la. So eventually, says to her. So anyway, it said here that all of the children died eventually. Because she, I guess, was never able to. So lebesof, at the end, eventually, amar la. Temush zavdasa l'nafshich. You're going to need tachrichen for yourself. Umisa. All right. So, it's a strong story to try to... the Mefarshim here are all pe'echad. They all say the same thing. That if you have the right emunos, then that gives you the ability to move on. But it is a slightly different story. The Gemara over here is going to say a little different perspective on it. That's the Gemara. Al tivku l'meis v'al tanodu lo. Pasuk says, "Al tivku l'meis v'al tanodu lo." Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. In any case, the words are really, it doesn't matter the context, but the words are, "Don't cry for the mace, and don't, I guess, don't grieve." Al tivku l'meis yaser midai. Doesn't mean don't cry for the mace. It just means not excessively. Al tanodu lo yaser mikashir, and don't grieve. It means more than the prescribed amount, shiva and shloshim, etc. Haketza, namely, what is a prescribed amount? Shlosha lebechi, 3 days for crying. Shiva lehesped, 7 days for hespedim, talk about the mace. And shloshim legivitza letisboras, and 30 days for kind of a lifestyle that shows that you're affected by the mace. Incidentally, that rule of shlosha lebechi, in theory on the books, it says you don't do nichem aveilim the first 3 days, because the expectation is that the person is not willing or able to see guests. But this is also kind of eroded recently, and we don't really seem to follow that. Mikan ve'elech, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the way this Agadita presents it, and past that level of Avelus, Hashem says, look, I'atem rachmanim bo yoser mimeni. I'm sad also about the death. You guys are not more distraught about the death than I am, and so don't remain grieving. Okay, these are very harsh things. I would never be able to say this to anybody, but okay. Then it says in the pasuk, "Bicho b'chu l'holeich." This is all part of that same pasuk where Yirmiyahu is telling them, "Don't cry for who died." B'chu b'chu l'holeich. Context is, cry over the one who's going to be exiled. Amar Rav Yehuda l'holeich b'lo vanim. Rav Yehuda says, no, the one who's really, who you should cry over is somebody who dies below banim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo azale beyavela ela lemanda azale below banim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi never used to attend public funerals except if it was somebody who died without children. Okay, because that's a greater tragedy. Dechsiv b'chu b'cho la holeich. Again, then the pasuk continues, Kilo yashivod v'ra'a es eretz moladato. Pasuk says he's not coming back to ever to see his home. So what does that refer to? Meaning, in addition to the pshuta shemikra Yirmiyo, it refers to Rav Huna Amar Zesh Avra Vera Vishanaba. Who's a guy who's not coming back? He takes the word lo yashuv as in he's not going to do tshuva. So who's somebody who's not going to do tshuva? That's a person who is a habitual sinner, somebody who's done a veris and repeated. Rav Huna letame, and Rav Huna is consistent with what he said elsewhere. The Amar Rav Huna kevin shavra adam avera vishanaba hutrilo. Person does an avera and does it again, then the resistance that the deterrence of the crime itself of the law has for you, it dissolves, and that you no longer feel deterred because of the law. It's true in all kinds of areas of life. An obvious psychological principle, everybody knows it. You do whatever traffic offenses and other legal violations and family laws and policy, whatever. So then you just get used to ignoring them. That's what it says about averus, and therefore you're not going to do tshuva because you don't feel you've done anything wrong. That's what it says. Hutrilo. Where it says, what do you mean hutrilo? It doesn't become mutter. So hutrilo sagadaita chalema naasis lo keheter. The person obviously takes it as mutter. Amar Rebbe Levi. Rebbe Levi says the following. Avel shloshi yam harishon em yeres atzma kilo cheri bunachas lo ben kseifav yerechusav. The avel in the first 3 days should see himself as if the sword is kind of positioned right over his head, or between his shoulders, between his legs, Meshlosha ad Shiva, from day 4 to 7, Kilu Menachas lo Kenegda Bekaren Zavis, like the sword is there around the corner at any moment, Nikanvelech Kilu Overes Kenegda Beshuk. From after Shiva, the sword is still there, somewhere in Beshuk, not really a direct threat, but unclear exactly what the message of this Agadata is supposed to be. Some say it simply is a very simple instruction. Just keep your head low and bowed as a regular physical posture that the Allah should be maintaining in the base of it. That's how some understand that this is supposed to be. All right, everybody.